Elder Ballard, I was taught a great lesson on my first job. A boss who wanted to impress on me the idea of interest. He said the definition of interest is this: them's that understands it receives it. Them's that don't pays it. Bishop Peterson opened the way for my remarks this morning by reminding us of the wise and foolish virgins. How sad it would be to find ourselves in the position outlined in the parable of having the door shut and the request to enter met with the response, "I know you not." My assignment today is as basic to welfare services as the priesthood is to the church. I've been given the assignment of bringing an increased awareness to the priesthood and the Relief Society leadership of the need to teach the basic training in personal and family preparedness on a regular, continuing schedule. Let us examine for a minute our leadership report card to see how well we have fulfilled our assignment to teach the principles of personal and family preparedness. You will note that our rate of annual increase for the period of 1970 to 1978 in total fast offering assistance was 15%. When we had a little upset in our economy, the rate last year jumped to 32.5%. We look even worse if we examine total commodity assistance. For the period 1970 to 1978, the annual rate of increase in commodity assistance was 11.3. Last year, the rate was a disastrous 53.5. A little dip in the economy found the membership without oil in their lamps. Immediately, it was necessary for those not adequately prepared to turn to the church for assistance. The results indicate the training of families in the basic principles of self-reliance and independence over the past years has not been as effective as it should have been. With such alarming results, we must remind ourselves that the church welfare system was never designed or intended to care for the healthy member who, as the result of his poor management or lack of preparation, has found himself in difficulty. It was designed to assist the membership in case of a large physical disaster, such as an earthquake or a flood. It was designed to assist the ill, the injured, the incapacitated, and rehabilitate them back to a productive life. In far too many cases, members who should be making use of their own preparedness provisions are finding that there is nothing there, and they have to turn to the church. It is time to ask ourselves what has created the problem of placing such a heavy burden on the church to supply our welfare needs. My analysis to this problem would lead me to believe that as leaders, we have spent far too much time in administering relief and far too little time in prevention by having our families prepared to administer to their own needs. It is time to teach the basics again. It is time to make our number one priority of our welfare efforts personal and family preparedness. We must prepare now so that in time of need, more of our members will be able to draw from their own preparedness and not have to seek for the assistance of the church. I like the story of an old man in the 19th century in New Hampshire who treasured his independence and self-reliance above all in his life. He accounted it true Christianity that he cared for his own and helped others, and fiercely resisted the notion that he ought to accept help from any other mortal. When his aged wife died, he buried her himself, then dug his own grave and laid in it his open homemade coffin. "When my time is coming," he said, I'll climb in the box, fold my arms over my chest. Won't be no bother to no one. They can just nail down the lid and push in the dirt. President Marion G. Romney has said so often, no self-respecting church member will voluntarily shift the responsibility of maintenance to another. Furthermore, a man not only will be responsible for caring for himself, but also will have the responsibility of caring for his family. The home must be the heart of the welfare program. We must focus our training on personal and family preparedness to reach the family organization. We must teach that every family should be headed by an executive committee comprised of a husband and wife who will set aside sufficient time to plan for their family needs. If it is a single parent family or an individual living alone, there is still a need to organize time and thought to establishing goals to meet needs. It must start here. Every family is different. I have noticed in my own family, now that my children are married, father and mother now live alone. Their needs have changed. A daughter with her own family in her own home, a son renting in a student housing project with his family, and a newly wedded daughter and her husband, still students at a university, each have different needs, and they are changing year by year. Personal and family preparedness planning must begin with a family executive committee. Planning must be tailored to fit the needs and circumstances of each family. Consideration must be given to their unique requirements in character development, financial and resource management, education, physical health, home production and storage, and social, emotional, and spiritual strength. Each family should organization should include a family council comprised of all members of the family unit. Here are the basic responsibilities of the family organization can be taught to the children. They can learn how to make decisions and act upon those decisions. Too many are growing to marriage age unprepared for this responsibility. Work ethics and self-preparedness can be taught in a most effective way in a family council. President Clark has paraphrased an old statement by saying, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy." He would say, "All play and no work makes Jack a useless boy." How grateful I am for a father who had the patience to teach me the art of gardening. How frustrating it must have been in that teaching process to find a neat row of weeds one day on the still in the ground and a pile of dead carrots piled by the side of the weeds. After I had completed one of my assignments in the garden, our family was taught not only the art of stacking and rotating cans and bottles on shelves, but how to grow and replace the fruits and vegetables necessary to fill the empty cans and bottles again. The first line of support to the family in the church organization is priesthood home teaching and Relief Society visiting teaching. These functions provide two important services. They keep the bishop, the quorum leader, and the Relief Society president adequately informed of the physical, emotional, temporal, and spiritual condition of the membership. They also have teaching opportunities and serve as a resource to provide some of the training to the families as they prepare for self-sufficiency. The Melchizedek priesthood quorum leaders can help the heads of the households by teaching the principles of welfare, how to love, to give service, to recognize what his stewardship is, to work honestly and diligently for his family and for others, and to consecrate his time and talents to the building up of the kingdom of God. He can train the home teachers on how they can get to know the families and be sensitive to their needs. When a member has special needs, the president can work with the bishop and other quorum members to see that those needs are met in a confidential and loving manner. The quorum meeting begins to fill its responsibilities when needs are met for the membership. It is there they can be taught how to develop the skills in all areas of personal and family preparedness. The Relief Society president gives the same kind of strength and support to the women of the ward as she trains the visiting teachers in the skills of compassionate service. As visits are made to the sisters and their needs are met confidentially with love and sensitivity, the sisters are usually more effective in teaching gospel principles. They teach and practice skills of sewing, canning, drying, and other food storage methods. They teach nutrition and physical health. They emphasize reading and cultural arts skills. Overall, there is a permeating spirit of love and giving, of industry, and serious attention to the skills of homemaking and gospel living. So the priesthood and Relief Society, working together, bring the family to the realization that personal and family preparedness is living the gospel. You may have read the story in the Ensign about the Hibbert family. The husband and father of this large family was diagnosed to have terminal cancer. After the shock and fear was faced, the husband and wife counseled together and decided that the best thing they could do for their joy and peace of mind was to prepare themselves and their family for what was to come. They chose to create family memories through shared experiences and completing family histories, and to have a year's supply of food and other necessities to meet the financial emergencies that would come. A will was prepared, and all insurance and legal papers were put in order. The children were taught to care for one another and to take responsibilities in the home. Just weeks before the death of Brother Hibbert, their home was destroyed by fire. With it went much of the food storage. But there was still the togetherness of the family, for they had learned to work together, to plan and to prepare, and to face difficulties head on. With the death of Brother Hibbert, there was sorrow, but not grief. The family had developed the skill it takes to remain close and loving. They were prepared. As you can see from the heavy burdens and responsibilities placed on the quorums and the Relief Society, careful and practical training must be given these officers. This must be supplied by the ward organization, presided over by a bishop. As chairman of the Ward Welfare Services Executive Committee, the bishop directs all welfare services work in the ward. He seeks out the needy and distressed. He coordinates the teaching of gospel principles and programs fundamental to welfare services, coordinates the efforts to teach the law of the fast. He sees that members with special needs are assigned with dignity and love and taken care of in the way that is so important to them. He coordinates confidential assistance to those in need. When necessary, he calls qualified resource specialists to assist in that support. Supporting the bishop is a stake organization. The bishop can request assistance from the stake president in the training and qualifying of his leadership. The stake president has a high council, a stake relief society organization, to furnish the training support required. Look at the impact of the Lord's organization and what it can be to the membership in their personal and family preparedness as the workload is distributed to a level of effectiveness. At the stake level, the ratio is one stake president to about 1,180 families. At the ward level, the ratio is one to about 108 families. At the quorum, one quorum leader to about 60 families. The home teaching ratio is one home teacher to three families. The foundation of the church welfare program is personal and family preparedness. The organizational support is in place to train and prepare the membership in this basic responsibility. What is needed now is for each priesthood and Relief Society leader to place the proper priority in this important work. Now, it may be that the old man from New Hampshire carried personal and family preparedness too far by digging his own grave and all. But oh, how I would love to see our people moved by that same spirit of self-reliance and preparedness. God grant us to see what must be done in our own wards and stakes. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.